Hello everyone and welcome to the weekly edition of Trad Tasman Talk. And both our nations are closed to foreigners. Well, Australia has still got 3 hours where foreigners can get in, but they'd have to self-isolate for 14 days. 9 p.m. Melbourne time tonight is the foreigners ban coming in. And do we? Over.
Yes, it is 5 past 8 p.m. here in Auckland at the moment. We closed our borders yesterday evening at midnight. Well, I'd say just 1 minute before midnight, so it was still yesterday evening. So for the first time on the show, who would have thought that we'd be opening a show with both of the borders of our countries sealed shut to foreigners, people being told to come home. So what a bizarre time we live in, and we will try and keep a low level of panic to this show. We'll try and bring you all of the latest news and try and focus on some of the more obscure, what shouldn't have been obscure, but some of the items of the news that have been completely buried in all of the Chinese flu or Chinese virus news.
And now, just to be clear to our viewers on YouTube, both on the Unshackled and Right Minds channel and also on the Tim Wilms DLive channel, no, we are not in the same room. This is a visual illusion here. I'm here in the Melbourne Unshackled studio and in Auckland. You've been one of those people working from home, you told me.
Yes, I have been working from home this week. I put myself into self-isolation. I had a bit of a cold earlier this week and I was coughing in the mornings, and I thought to myself, I don't want to go to the office and have people look at me like I, am bringing the pestilence to my co-workers. So I decided, now's as good a time to be the office, to be the guinea pig and work from home. And it sounds like basically everyone else in my office and industry will be at home next week or the week after. It seems fairly inevitable. So yeah.
Now the reason for the delay starting tonight is because, well, it was broken this afternoon that Australia's communication minister Paul Fletcher, he's met with all the telcos to make sure there's not an overload on our already incredibly crappy NBN and remaining copper networks. And well, New Zealand had I remember when I came over to New Zealand to cover the 2017 general election, that New Zealand did it was still a government initiated fiber rollout, but they actually, it wasn't a fully government nationalized socialized project. They actually had public private partnerships, so it was a little better than Australia's.
Yes, that's right. We do have a fair amount of that sort of state-owned enterprises and public-private partnerships going on here in New Zealand. The fiber rollout on the whole seems to be have gone well, at least. I've heard the horror stories, but I haven't experienced any, and I think for most people it's gone rather smoothly. For the ones where it's gone badly, it's been a case of the contractors doing a terrible, shoddy job, and usually they've had that fixed out over time. So it's been a bit, some teething problems for some people. On the whole, it's gone well. Whether it'll hold up to everybody being at home is something that we'll find out. Whether the power grid can actually handle everyone being at home for an extended period of time is also something that's going to, it's going to be something we're going to have to find out over time. And maybe all of those, maybe we'll see if all of those renewables can hold up.
Well, our Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews this week suddenly announced that he was allowing onshore gas exploration in Victoria, lifting the ban. And
Who would have thought?
Yes, and I suppose because I've often talked about that in crisis situations, there's also opportunities for improvement and efficiencies. And obviously I've said this before, but the climate change crusaders, Greta Inc, their movement is now dead. And you just saw Labor and Green backed Premier Daniel Andrews, even though he's pledged that we're going to be carbon neutral by 2050, rolling out renewables and increasing the tax on brown coal. We had the Hazelwood power station closed, but all of a sudden this week, because Oh, yeah, a lot of people are going to be at home using more electricity, and obviously we need those for the hospitals as well. Yeah, energy security, it's all of a sudden the number one of the number one priorities.
And something I was talking to somebody else about the other day is actually, we're suddenly seeing how important energy security and energy independence is, because if the oil stops coming in, if we switch over to electric cars, well, where's all the electricity coming from? Especially since in New Zealand we had a dam project cancelled recently, that we covered on the show actually. So where the energy needs of the future are going to come from is up in the air at the moment, and we may get a little taste of that in the coming weeks, but it's hard to predict how that's going to go. But clearly we're not the only ones thinking about it. Whether the various infrastructure can hold up with everyone being at home for extended periods of time is going to it's just quite interesting. Obviously there are certain times of year where this happens, but I suspect not quite on a scale like this, and for the length of time that this is likely to be in place for.
Because obviously, with people working on home, teleconferencing is going to be on the rise, whether it be it from Skype or Zoom or something else. And then people who are in 14-day isolation who or can't leave the house, they're probably going to watch Netflix or Stan or Disney Plus. And there's also a lot of people playing games online as well, Minecraft, Fortnite, and Call of Duty, and that is going to place significant pressure on our internet.
And I do hope people will be spending more time actually with their families, reading books, working out in their gardens, and getting projects done around the house. I've seen a lot of time, a lot of this, the memes or the memes that, oh well, all you have to do is sit home and watch Netflix. I do hope that that's not what people are doing, and this is, this is the time to enjoy the time with your family, maybe try and unplug a little bit more, especially because the news is only going to get crazier, the hysteria is only going to build, and you're going to be much better off if you focus on a little bit of self-improvement. And for those of us who are able to work no matter what, you're going to have to try and get some work done with all of the chaos at home. So it's going to be a bit of a chaotic time as well.
You've got three young children. How's it been? Because they're all still below school age, which of course in Australia they're keeping the schools open. Has there been any talk in New Zealand of potential school closures?
I think a lot of people view the school closures as inevitable, but the only schools that have closed so far have been ones that have been related to coronavirus cases. So usually people coming back from holidays, students or families with students coming back from overseas, they've been isolated, they've been tested and have had positive cases there. So some schools have closed. It's likely that within the next couple of weeks, we could see all schools close. I was almost expecting that to happen this week, or starting next week. I think a few schools have been trialing some work from home options. Sorry, yeah, well, teach from home options this week. Some homeschooling, and those trials are beginning because they know it's likely a matter of time before the schools are closed as well.
And our island state of Tasmania, they've effectively shut off their border with the mainland. Anyone who comes into Tasmania has to isolate for 14 days because they've got an elderly population, because that's where a lot of retirees go to live down in Tasmania. And obviously, because they are an island state, they're able better protect their borders, but they're still going to take mainland Australian money. So they're sort of seceding from the Commonwealth, but not. Obviously, New Zealand is made up of two islands, North and South
Yes.
Island. There's been talk of controlling movement between them.
Not seriously, but I know some of the South Islanders, and my friend Solomon from the South Island Independence Movement has been calling for several weeks that the borders be shut between the North and South Island, that they be protected from the cases that we have here. They've got their own cases on the South Island now this week. Last time we talked a week ago, we had about three cases. Now we're up to 39 confirmed cases. Since serious testing is only just starting, that number is going to rise rapidly. So we'll be looking at it's guaranteed we'll be looking at hundreds of cases next week. There's no real way around that.
But still, zero deaths in New Zealand, which is the main
thing. That's right. That's right, definitely. And zero proven community transmissions as well. So they say, you know, and I say proven, it's guaranteed that with 30, you know, nearly 40 people having returned from overseas and tested positive, it's essentially guaranteed that there will have been a lot of community transmission going on, but we're not going to find out about that for another week or two as the virus incubates. So a lot of precautionary measures are being taken. I suspect in terms of stopping the virus, it's too little too late. But some, especially retirement villages shutting down, I suspect you have had that in Australia for a while now, but a lot of retirement villages have voluntarily started to shut down in terms of not allowing visitors, testing visitors that have to come, asking people to please stay away from retirement villages, because those are the parts of our communities that are most vulnerable.
Yes, exactly. And our cases as of Friday evening stand at 814. There's been 58 new cases today. Queensland has where there's been the biggest spike in cases. That's also Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, where a lot of retirees go as well. So obviously a more vulnerable population. We had our seventh death this morning, another elderly person. All our seven deaths have been people who aged over 75, and this is what the containment measures that the government's announced is that because 80% of people who are going to get the coronavirus are going to experience mild symptoms, make a full recovery, but it's those vulnerable people, you could give it to them and potentially kill them.
Exactly. I've just been looking at, we're talking about testing cases, how many cases are being tested. I've just been looking around at the latest updates here, and I'm seeing a tweet from someone who says they're a GP in Taranaki, and they said they've had two test kits in their practice, and only today they got 10 more, so they actually haven't tested anyone, for instance. So that's basically why, you know, the cases have jumped a lot in New Zealand, but serious testing has only just started, and we the health minister Chris Hipkins announced today he didn't actually know how many test kits we have in the country, but that he's ordered tens of thousands more. So it's likely a case of waiting for you know, serious cases to end up in hospital. It's going to take a long time to actually get serious testing up and running. Once that testing is up and running, you're just going to see more and more and more cases. People are panic buying. You know, you've had that in Australia. Everyone here will have seen the footage from Australia and elsewhere, you know, of the supermarkets being empty, people hoarding toilet paper and all kinds of other things, meat, milk, butter, bread, just everything is cleaned out. And we've had the same in New Zealand the past few days, where supermarkets have just been cleaned out. And these are all, you know, goods that are available here in New Zealand. We make here in New Zealand, the shelves are going to be restocked, but they can't keep up. And that's from people who didn't, you know, who don't have a couple of weeks worth of reserves, who aren't preppers, wouldn't necessarily call myself a prepper, but in a very light way, you know, when we saw this coming months ago, we started to slowly stack up a little bit of extra food. And now we don't have to go into the supermarket because we knew this was going to happen. And it's pretty sad to see it happen, but you know yourself that it's going to be inevitable. Is that the media is going to panic people and scare people. First they say, oh, everything's fine, calm down. And then they start saying, oh, look, people are panic buying, but it's fine, stay calm, don't panic buy. Here's all the pictures of everyone panic buying, and then everyone who's not panic buying thinks, oh, my cupboards are looking pretty bare. You know, it becomes a, it becomes circular reasoning.
Yes.
It's a cycle. And it's a vicious cycle that's not going to end for a couple of days. And it may even take a full-scale lockdown, which is what, you know, one of the fear of a full-scale lockdown is driving this. It may take a full-scale lockdown to stop people raiding the supermarkets so they can actually keep the shelves stocked. Because we have enough of all of this in the country. We make, we export, I believe it's about 50 million people around the world that we feed from New Zealand. We have all of that food here.
And obviously it's not going overseas.
It's not, less of it is going overseas, and I suspect we'll be down to just about nothing going overseas. Yeah, but we just it's clear that people don't keep enough food on hand, have aren't well informed because they're just watching the TV every night and now are stuck in this vicious cycle of panic buying and not being able to get what they need.
Yeah, it's the same in Australia at the moment. Obviously, we started the trend, but since we last went to air last Friday night, obviously, we had the breaking news that Peter Dutton had coronavirus. There was the announcement of gatherings of more than 500 people being banned, the indoor gatherings. That was reduced to 100 on, I think it was Tuesday, and today the National Cabinet met, which is basically the new name for COAG, Commonwealth Heads of Government. And now the official policy for indoor gatherings is one person per every 4 square meter. And you're right that what's triggering a lot of the panic buying is this fear of a national lockdown. And there's been heaps of fake news and rumors circulating on social media, people claiming that they've spoken to an insider that lockdown is imminent. It's, what is it, Friday night here in Australia. None of that has come to fruition. The federal government has been pretty ferocious in saying that a national lockdown is not going to happen. In fact, Scott Morrison's press conference today with the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Brendan Murphy, and Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, they want Australia to keep functioning, but they're basically appealing to Australians' community nationalistic spirit to get us through this crisis. Because I've repeatedly said our government, state and federal, they do not have the resources to police a national lockdown. They've basically spoken about that. Check in on your friends and family who are supposed to be in isolation. Check that they are doing that. Make sure that we're all doing the right thing. Basically, as I said, appealing to the better Australians, because the Prime Minister on Wednesday he told Australians off for the hoarding and the panic buying. He's like, stop it, this is not who we are. And Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton, he's even though he's been in isolation, he's still been busy at work, obviously. thanks to the wonders of the virtual world, and he issued a warning yesterday to the hoarders and the profiteers. I'm coming after you, the federal police and border force, because there have been rumors and alleged sightings of buses going into rural and regional supermarkets and emptying out the place of. But I haven't seen much photographic evidence. The only photographic evidence that I saw was Asians at outer suburban supermarket wanting to buy baby formula, like stockpile that, which is not new. That's been going on for years and years.
Forever. It's going to be a case in New Zealand as well. I think a similar case where the government's slowly going to ramp up asking people to stay home. So there's going to be, in a sense, a soft lockdown, which is likely what they're gearing up for. I think some of the rumors, especially coming out of the army being prepared to help out, which is probably really happening, they will be seriously preparing and mobilizing every possible resource for a worst case scenario behind the scenes, but they won't necessarily be intending to roll out to the people. And that's where these rumors seep out, and then the government has to suppress those rumors. Like, no, it's all fine. And if things get bad enough, then they'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy anyway. So it's going to be a case eventually slowly of asking businesses, the government will probably set the example. We've heard in New Zealand a lot of government agencies are preparing to work from home. So the government will start sending its staff home, saying work from home where you can, work from home where you can. A lot of private businesses are already sending staff home. So it's going to be a kind of a voluntary thing where... Yeah. Slowly the country will shut down, but not completely, hopefully well enough to keep local businesses going. There's a lot of advertising going on for people saying, go out there and support your local businesses, helps keep them afloat. And I suspect you're a few days ahead of us essentially. So you've had that going on as well.
There's been a lot of Australian libertarians who've been in meltdown and in the fecal position, fearing that civil liberties are going to be eroded. There's going to be this mega big brother government coming, and of course all the socialists have been saying the empty shelves, this is a sign of peak
capitalism is over.
Yeah, late stage capitalism, as they call it. But I take completely the opposite views in that, as you mentioned, that a lot of businesses, they're already in the process of encouraging their and accommodating their employees working from home. The supermarkets, they have introduced, it hasn't been enforced this by government, these purchasing limits which supermarkets are constantly ramping up. It's all voluntary by all the major supermarkets here, Woolworths, Coles, Aldi and IGA, and obviously those businesses, they're doing as best they can to make sure that the supply lines are open more, and also our government is, rather than nationalizing the supermarkets as some people socialists would like, government is actually
we'll be dead within a week.
Government is actually cutting red tape because there's curfews, were curfews on place in deliveries and trucks going into areas. Even Labor MPs are saying, yeah, let's get rid of all these unnecessary regulations so we can get the trucks to the supermarkets. And in fact, the supermarkets now, they're already, obviously, it's been hard to adjust to this sudden skyrocketing in demand. The supermarkets introduced was a pensioner hour for those with disability as well, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. In the mornings. And when they first introduced it on Tuesday morning, the logistics supply chain was still catching up, so there was still a lot of disappointed and angry pensioners. But it has got better by week's end, and so you just saw the improvements in a week. So you're seeing changes day by day, which of course, if you had a central government controlling it, that would be a disaster. And you see also because there's obviously a lot of industries are going to be decimated, the hospitality, travel, tourism, both Qantas and Virgin have grounded their international fleets. Qantas is obviously still got some flights going to get Australians back, because you're an Australian citizen and resident, you're allowed back into Australia, though you do have
same
to isolate for 14 days. Alan Joyce, he's negotiating now with Woolworths, he said, because he's had to lay off 20,000 workers, whether they can work for Woolworths in the short term, because obviously there's a lot of demand for more supermarket workers. Yeah. Coles, they've announced they're going to be hiring 5,000 at least. And so business is adjusting quickly. The banks have announced a 6 month amnesty on business loans. So all the businesses are adjusting to these new set of circumstances. So capitalism is adjusting. Businesses are helping each other stay flat. And we are seeing, obviously, we've seen ugly scenes at supermarkets and elsewhere, like public transport, where somebody's coughed and they've got yelled at. But we are seeing volunteerism on the rise. There is now a big push to look after the elderly. I know that there was some cleaning business. They donated 8,000 toilet rolls to those on low incomes and the elderly as well. So we are seeing that because Scott Morrison's brought back the term Team Australia, which was originally used by Tony Abbott during the ISIS crisis, what do you call it? So we are seeing a lot of good aspects of libertarianism coming through with capitalism adjusting, volunteerism on the rise, and also complemented that with the resurgence in nationalism, because we've had to close our borders, and thankfully we didn't go full globalist, and because the farmers have said there's enough food to feed 75 million people, which is three Australians. So thankfully we've still got that, but we are reliant on China and other foreign places for a lot of other supplies as well.
And especially medicine. And that's something I've just heard, the United States is actually looking at legislation already to bring, medicine manufacturing back to America. And this is a subject that has sort of raged a lot between libertarian and conservative circles in sort of the populist realm on, you know, do we need protectionism? You know, isn't that inefficient? But we're seeing now that the slight inefficiencies that you're going to have by having local supply chains, having resilient supply chains, yes, it's going to be slightly more expensive. You're going to be spending slightly more money, but it's going to be a whole lot better than having especially having it diversified. If you have several countries that you're relying on, you're in much better shape than, hey, this all needs to come from China, and all they're going to do is send us a new virus every 10 years.
And yeah, I don't believe that there's a need for protectionist laws by government. As I said, government has been getting out of the way and cutting regulation, and it's bipartisan. Labour MPs have been encouraging it as well, so everything can get there as quickly as possible.
Parliament's moving a lot more slowly than that at the moment. I'll get into that. I'll let you finish and then I'll get into that.
But businesses themselves are going to be thinking more long term. Okay, like, it's good when international trade is able to flow freely, but we've got to make sure if there's another pandemic, because everyone's going to be paranoid about another potential pandemic in the future. And so they're going to source things locally, even though it might cost a bit more. It'll be worth the extra cost for those businesses, so that if there is another emergency situation, they can survive.
The reaction we've had from the New Zealand government has been less than bipartisan. The opposition's been very critical of Jacinda's reaction, and I think the wider public has been too, because she seems to be driven by the internal polling and the public opinion. So we hear one thing one day, and then the opposite happens the next day. So we've seen a clear case of that happening in terms of shutting the border. No, the border's not going to be shut. They were adamant that the border's not going to be shut. 24 hours later, the border was shut. You know, on Thursday last week, the March 15th commemorations were going ahead. We had the show on Friday talking about these commemorations upcoming. On Saturday, they were cancelled. Right? Everyone knew they were going to cancel, but the government, Jacinda in particular, cabinet, wanted to go ahead with these commemorations. It didn't happen. We didn't have any other incidents except for an Australian bring the virus to New Zealand on that time. So we had a case of bioterrorism from Australia. Again, thank you, Australia. But it's been far more widespread than that. The virus has come to New Zealand from at least a dozen different countries now. And then we had more or less silence from the government for a couple of days. We had an economic package announced I believe about 3 billion or so. I'll check the exact number here. Nearly got it in front of me. Yes, about nearly 3 billion of this $12 billion package was directed at increasing benefits for beneficiaries. And people are saying, but you know, this is clearly a political response, because beneficiaries aren't going to lose their jobs. And so why is a huge part of this package aimed at beneficiaries? We're seeing a whole lot aimed at aviation support. Most of that's going to go to Air New Zealand. We're probably going to be bailing our shareholders again, things like that. We do have a good amount promised for wage subsidies, for ensuring that people can take sick leave, that, you know, people who can't work from home but do have to go home will keep most of their income. There's a bit of support there where a lot of people, well, basically universally people have said, yes, that's good, due to these circumstances, that's fine, that's a reasonable use of taxpayers' money. There's been very little in the way of reviewing regulations, removing regulations, and the legislation that the government has instead been focused on has been abortion laws. So they spent a whole day or two whole days last week. I believe it was basically two whole days last week. And they're not whole days because Parliament only meets for several hours a day. But they spent a huge amount of time on this abortion legislation, pushing through the complete legalization and liberalization of abortion in New Zealand. What people have called this the most extreme abortion law in the world, at least in the civilized Western world, that seems to be the case. And that's where their focus has been, and they're playing catch up in every other area.
So during a time when, well, we're seeing a lot of elderly people dying because of the coronavirus, the New Zealand Parliament has just passed a law to make it easier to kill the next generation, who some people have already coined the corona babies. So we
Exactly.
obviously need more children in the future, and I've already made this suggestion: couples who are isolated together, you know what to do.
Yes,
Make the next generation.
it was in the comments, and I haven't said hello to everyone in the comments. And thanks for watching, and it's good to see everyone there. We had a suggestion early on as well, who says that making more corona babies is exactly what people need to be doing at this time, and that's the case. But sadly, our parliament has been focused on the opposite. They've been focused on ensuring that there's easier access to abortion, on trying to increase the number of babies who are killed in New Zealand every year. I talked about that at the beginning of the year. It's 13,000 of them. 13,000 abortion, 13,000 babies are murdered in New Zealand every year, and the parliament hopes to make that number go up. And they hope to make it easier, and they had even hoped to ban protests outside abortion clinics, or people giving sidewalk counseling, people trying to discourage women from having abortions, offering them alternatives and assistance. They've been trying to ban that, which failed actually due to what was essentially a procedural accident, where a voice vote was taken and somebody forgot to, or that, no, people didn't realize. There were very few people in the parliament at the time for some reason, and the Green MPs forgot to ask for a vote, a personal vote where everyone has to vote. And because the yes side, yays, yelled louder, the motion passed, and the safe spaces, these exclusion zones around abortion clinics, were accidentally removed. And the attempt to bring them back later the next day by Andrew Little failed as well. That was the one slight silver lining here in that, at least, the people who have already been born didn't have their civil liberties curtailed at the time. We suspect it's going to be done again. They'll try again another time. It's very possible they may push for other legislation to try and curtail other freedoms, because Andrew Little has promised he's going to push ahead with his hate speech legislation right after this. So that's his next focus. So we're in the middle of a coronavirus epidemic. It's basically guaranteed that people are going to die. Their focus is on abortion and restricting speech.
And I will say hello to the people in the Unshackled YouTube chat. People have been slow to join this week's show, and I have gotten messages from people who said they're not getting the notifications when our shows go live. We do know that YouTube and Facebook are cracking down further on alternative voices, and pretty much anybody talking about the coronavirus. They're really ramping up their algorithms there. Since we are going live on the Unshackled YouTube channel, you can directly send through a super chat in the chat just by pressing the dollar sign there, typing in what you want to say to us, and I'll read it out on air. But yes, New Zealand.
Oh, one more thing before we carry on. I talked last week. I told people drinking gin is going to help you stop the coronavirus. And in terms of treatments, just the last few days, they've been looking at an anti-malarial drug for treating coronavirus. So there you go, people. Gin and tonic is where it's at.
So that is gin.
It's the quinine. We had this discussion last week. Now that we're doing Friday shows, I'm going to be drinking gin from now on. So, although I'm running low on supplies, and I spent all of my money on canned goods, so I might not be able to buy any more gin.
There is still plenty of alcohol in our bottle shops.
I'm sure it's actually not the gin. It's the Indian tonic, which has got quinine in it, and the anti-malarial drugs are based on something that's based on quinine. So, I am, in case anybody's watching who thinks I'm serious and practicing medicine without a license, I am being sarcastic here a little bit. It's not the gin. It's not the tonic that's going to stop you from coronavirus, but it may be a related drug that may save some people's lives. So.
And there's still plenty of Corona beer for sale. There was a clip from somebody else that was shared by Avi Yemeni on Twitter. It was from England, and it was showing a liquor, one of those liquor superstores with all the pallets of beer, and he goes through the empty pallets, and he's like, wait for it, and the Corona beer pallet is still full.
Yeah. It's the stock market has not been kind to anybody, but it's been even less kind to Corona.
it's not even
Corona. It's just a coronavirus. We call it the coronavirus, but it is, of course, as Trump appropriately calls it, the Chinese virus, or the commie. I did like Stikes's version of it, that he'd been calling it the commie flu for several months now. The commie flu, but yeah, it's it seems to have caught on now.
Yeah, or the Wuhan flu, or what do we call it, Kung flu. Yeah.
We did have a Kung flu episode. We said at the time, you're not allowed to make jokes about that. And obviously the media was driven into a tailspin. But their insistence on calling it coronavirus and don't be racist doesn't seem to be having an effect. I just had somebody contact me this afternoon with stories that, certain bogans is what you call them in Australia, I suppose. But people who basically went into Chinese restaurants or harassing Chinese people and yelling at them and blaming them for spreading diseases.
I haven't seen those videos there.
So what we've had, I've just got word of mouth from sort of reliable people that I don't think we'll see very many videos, and I'm not sure how much we'll see in terms of media reports. But all of their talks about, wash your hands and don't be racist, it doesn't work. And, people, there are still, it's always the same people. It's always a certain type of person who go out and they harass these poor, innocent people. Mm. Because, of course, this has got nothing to do with Chinese people and everything to do with the Communist Party of China.
Did Patrick Gower get back in time? Because he was stalking.
I've not heard of him since he stalked Bernie Sanders. Mm. I don't usually follow what he's doing. So your guess is as good as mine. But I did see that Egg Boy is now trapped in New Zealand and he has to be quarantined. So there you go.
I think the political response in New Zealand has been different because there is an election in September, and this is why the response from the Trump administration, I say administration, not Trump himself, because there is an election in November, and obviously in both nations, both leaders want a good economy going into the election, but that is clearly not going to be the case now. And Trump's trying to turn the politics of it, that he's calling it the Chinese virus, because that's where it came from. I call it the globalist virus, because it's all the globalists who gave it to each other. Yeah. 80% of our infection rates in Australia have been from people who've come from overseas or come into contact with somebody from overseas. That's why the foreigners ban is now in place. So it is clearly this mass movement of people, and they've now discouraged interstate travel in Australia. You can still travel interstate, but it's they're just advising people at this stage. You can still actually fly out of Australia if you want, but it depends where you're going, if you're allowed in.
If they'll take you, exactly. Mm. I've got a good chat. It's not a super chat, but it's actually a good question. I'm going to read it out, and I think we can deal with or should be able to deal with it. Do you guys actually think this virus is something more than just media hype with an ulterior motive? Why is it that the mainstream media, the perpetrators of fake news, but now they're telling, quote unquote, telling the truth? So you want to have a go at that, or shall I respond to that?
The reason why governments are concerned about this virus is because of Italy. And if you have a look at Italy's total deaths now, it's now surpassed China. They've got 41,000 cases, but 3,000...
And we know the Chinese numbers are fake. So, and Italy's ones seem more likely to be real.
And their total cases per 1 million population is 679. And if you have a look at Australia's, ours is only 32 still. And if I go down to New Zealand's, if I can find it further down here,
And I can respond to that. And the fake news. I talked about this at the beginning, but they're the ones pushing the hype. And of course, it's not about the hype and the panic, but they get to print more money from the panic. Print more money. They get to sell more papers, sell more clicks, essentially, and just try and sell more ads. Well, the ad business is basically dead now, so they're in a spot of trouble there.
Yeah, and the media is also.
Started off by saying it was nothing, right? They started off, and if you were following this in January and early February, the media said, oh, this is nothing, this is nothing, this is nothing. If you were following the right people who were seeing what was going on in China, they were saying to people, look, this is going to be bad. It's not going to kill you, but it's going to cause massive panic. It's going to cause massive hysteria. Make sure you've got some stuff ready. For most people, this is not really a serious problem. The issue seems to be for the elderly, it's a serious problem. And in Italy now we're seeing, even perhaps for young people, it can be a really bad problem. A lot of young people being hospitalized there, having permanent lung problems, because we're finally able to get more real information that we couldn't get from the cases in China, obviously. So, what's definitely don't trust what's coming from the media, regardless. But there's a bunch of very good YouTubers who've been out. I mentioned Stikes at the earlier on. He's been following this for 3 months. There are various other people who have been providing accurate, non-hysterical information on this for months, and they seem to be spot on all the time. Definitely don't pay any attention to the media. Don't panic and treat it like the end of the world, but it is going to cause serious economic issues no matter what, because most people are paying attention to the media and are going to do what the media tells them, and that just has all kinds of ramifications for everybody else.
And you're correct that there's still a lot that we don't know about this virus, and doctors and scientists don't know. It is a more advanced and, as we've seen, lethal version of the flu. But as the doctors have told us, 80% of people infected will only have mild symptoms, but it's because of the fear of the unknown, and also the fact that the mainstream media, it's the fear of a lockdown that is also sending a lot of people into this panic buying and that. And that's why our government at least has been so aggressive in shooting it down, saying we want Australia to keep functioning. They're working on a second stimulus package now to help people who are going to find themselves temporarily unemployed, and to save a lot of businesses. There's a lot of obviously community feeling against bailing out big institutions. I know that our National Rugby League, they want a bailout since they're playing in front of empty stadiums now, which they were before. The AFL.
Now's a good time to get a bailout. Now get your requests in now while they're splashing cash around. Yeah. Of course, the taxpayer is going to get shafted. If you had money in the stock market, you're in trouble. I think it's likely the stock market will recover. People are still spending money like economic growth. I mean, the economy's not going to grow. That's not really a problem, I think. In terms of people are still spending a lot of money, and where they're spending it is going to be interesting. I don't think it's a bad idea if people stop spending money, but that drives economists insane. So you do have to be a little bit careful there.
In obviously Australia's a federation, we have Liberal Prime Minister, four Liberal premiers and chief ministers, and four Labor premiers and chief ministers. So there's an equal representation in this national cabinet, but they've all been working extremely well together because there are jurisdictional issues. And when Scott Morrison announces these bans on mass gatherings, he doesn't have the power as the federal government, but the state government's pretty much sign off on that and enforce it. All of the talk about there being conflict between federal and state governments and state and federal chief medical officers, that's all been fake news. But we're also benefited by the fact that there's not going to be a federal election in Australia until May 2022, Victorian state election November 2022, New South Wales state election is March 2023. The only state election coming up is in Queensland in October. So there hasn't, I know that the UK, they've actually cancelled their local government elections. Sadiq Khan, Mayor of London, for another year. Yeah. In New Zealand, has there been any talk of...
Yeah, so from the establishment, some of the elite pundits have been floating the idea of delaying the election. And this is the kind of thing I'd be very careful about. They'll take it easy because the election actually is actually still 6 months away. Mm. So it will develop. The situation will develop, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I would be careful if they're trying to push more hate speech legislation. You know, as you've seen with the abortion legislation I mentioned before, if they try and change the dates of the elections, try and pass various other, you know, they'll still be trying to push gun law changes. You know, the police will be up to the usual shenanigans. So do be vigilant, do be careful, and I think again, I said before, this is probably in the end going to be bad for the media because the advertising industry dries up and they don't get a good bailout. So this is a good time. And alt media everywhere, people are telling me that their numbers are going up all the time, and a lot more people are paying attention. My wife is, you know, says people out on the streets are rubbishing the media more than ever. People who used to believe the media are actually seeing that they're the ones generating this hysteria, and they're the ones that are, in some sense, responsible for, you know, all of the chaos out there. So this could be used well. This could turn out. This could all turn out well. And just the situation changes day by day. And just be vigilant and stay calm.
I know that our police resources are stretched, given that in New South Wales they're now deploying police officers to supermarkets to maintain order.
To guard the toilet paper.
Yes, but I've heard that the New Zealand police, they've still got the time to go and harass gun owners and nationalists. Yeah.
Yes, they did. I think many people here will have seen the story. My friend Matthew and Matt is also a moderator on Right Minds. He had a visit from the police on March 14th. So you can kind of put that together, and you know, based on his question, based on the questions that they asked him, you know, well, what do you think about March 15th? You know, was it a terrorist attack? Is that how you describe it? You know, who do you donate money to? What groups are you members of? And on and on and on these questions go. And, you know, why did they visit him? Who knows? You'll probably never know. We can guess, of course. And the fact that the police have caused me some trouble may be related to that. But anyway, he took it well, and he's obviously a bit shaken. But I told him, you know, you'll come right. You know, it takes a couple of weeks, and you feel, you know, you're looking over your shoulder all the time. We're on the right here, and we got to keep doing what we're doing. And you know, a lot of people are on our side here, and so just being out there in the open is actually very, very helpful to that as well. And people can see that you're serious. People know that you're real, and that you do believe what you're saying, and what you're saying is stuff that they agree with, and that you're a normal citizen, and you know, well behaved, and that goes down well. But yes, the police, you know, the leadership there, they have some serious issues. We've talked about that in the past as well, and probably will keep coming up. The police here in New Zealand seem to be out of control, and there's some really bad eggs somewhere buried inside the hierarchy and the bureaucracy. The police minister doesn't have a clue as to what's going on, or he doesn't want to know. Or he's responsible for it. Any of these could be the real case. And none of that is likely to change unless perhaps we get a change of government, although I would never hope for too much in terms of political, you know, political solutions or what politicians get done. You know, you can, you can try, and don't expect too much is always my approach to this.
I think the polling patterns that we've seen, not just in New Zealand, but over in the United States, you can pretty much put those in the bin now, given that we don't know what a thing is going to be like next week, let alone in 6 months' time. And I know that there's some people who have said, well, over in the United States, that there's going to be a recession, so Trump will lose because no president has got re-elected during a recession. But this is a very different type of recession.
Yeah, exactly. And people are saying, hey, this is the worst thing since World War II. We don't know. We really don't know. And we've never really faced this kind of, you know, essentially a rerun of the Spanish flu is what's happening, probably on a much milder scale because we have far more advanced medicine. But the panic definitely perhaps is greater because of the way that the world is now connected. We've never really had something like this happen before. And so it's going to be interesting just to cover this over time. And even looking at the timelines, I was reading out part of a timeline just before on, you know, how things are changing every single day. You talked about the restrictions in terms of how many gatherings, you know, gatherings could be had. On Tuesday this week, there were no restrictions on gatherings. On Wednesday, we had gatherings limited to 500 indoors and outdoor. And then on Thursdays, we had gatherings limited to 100 indoors and outdoors. Today, no change, right? I mean, that's since Tuesday, there were no restrictions, right? 3 days, just like that. So there's no point making any predictions.
And this is what feeds the panic as well, because governments over the last week in Australia and New Zealand have amped up the containment measures, which has made people fear a national lockdown. Well, and we just heard today that state of California, the media, of course, are reporting it as a lockdown, but you got to look at the finer detail to see how exactly it is going to work. Because, as I said, in Australia, our governments are asking for basically a lot of self-community policing, make sure that you, your neighbors and other family members are doing the right thing. They haven't launched some sort of hotline to dob in somebody who's breaching quarantine.
And that's the kind of thing that I'd be cautious of. We saw a bit of talk about that in New Zealand as well, you know, sort of, you know, hey, if you see your neighbors breaching quarantine, ring the police kind of situation. But that's not something the government's been asking for. But I'm always concerned if that's the case, things get into. I was joking with somebody just a couple of weeks ago when we still had a drought about water restrictions, and he was talking about his neighbors watering the plants after dark, hoping that nobody would dob him in kind of situation. And I know people who basically got visits from the council saying, hey, you know, somebody's made a complaint that you've been watering your flowers. And that's maybe to be understood to a certain degree, but I think also we should be extremely cautious of that kind of behavior being pushed on people. And that's definitely not something I would encourage people to participate in. Of course, you can definitely go and talk to people if you see them doing something dangerous. If they genuinely do have a virus and can end up killing other people, you know, you may have a little bit more reason to be cautious and proactive. But this is the kind of behavior, always very, very cautious.
And as my audience know, I commute quite a fair distance from the studio to where I live. So I pass a lot of the southeastern suburban Melbourne traffic, and obviously the media has been reporting that, oh, look at Bourke Street in the city, it is vacant, look at all these major landmarks which haven't got people there. But the roads are still pretty busy, and there's always roadworks going on because, well, until this point there was a lot of mass migration, and so they needed to keep building the infrastructure to keep up with the population. But all the roadworks that have been taking place for the last few months or so, they're all still keep going. All the road, there's still the signs up saying expect delays from March the 23rd until 25th. That sort of thing.
Keep going.
And
it's good. Now's the time to invest more in infrastructure. They're talking about at least 3 months or so of the borders being closed. In New Zealand, we have kiwi fruit picking season coming up. If we've been told for decades that if we don't let foreigners into the country to pick our kiwi fruit, then we won't be able to pick the kiwi fruit. Here's a prediction I will make, is that the kiwi fruit will be picked and we won't need any foreigners to do it for us.
Because definitely people, well, they'll need to lower their expectations and sense of entitlement. And it's been reported for a number of years that last thing a lot of people want to do is move to a rural area to pick manual fruit, which is manual hard labor. But you're not going to be able to be too picky in the next 6 months, pardon the pun.
No, definitely right. I think the thing that I have seen, you know, and I mean, someone in the comments is honey, sorry, is they, you know, if you need to get more people out into the orchards, you have to pay more money for it. We may see more of that. Who knows, perhaps more fruit will become more expensive, or we may have more fruit now because we usually export it all. And if the exports are down, it may be in the New Zealand supermarkets instead. All of this is going to be quite a fascinating journey to observe and to comment on as it happens. Because just making predictions there is difficult. And we're now clocking over to 9 p.m. I think the last thing I was going to say in terms of restrictions, I had noticed a lot of churches closing down, and that is quite sad. I'm quite sad to see that. Thankfully, as far as I know, my church is still open this Sunday, so I will still be planning to go to church. I understand, you know, that churches may not want to have massive gatherings, but there's always ways to, you know, spread people out and reduce the, you know, add in a couple of extra services and spread people out. And it's been kind of sad to see a lot of churches just say, oh, well, we'll just, you know, we'll phone it in and cancel the churches.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly. I'm not a fan of that. I understand people being concerned about, you know, getting a virus and dying. But I don't think that's the, I don't think that completely shutting churches is the right way to go. And of course, e-sermons are always available anyway. So, I'm definitely still going to church on Sunday as things are. And I do hope that a lot of the churches, you know, I suppose will reconsider what they're currently doing. But you never know. And it's the cases of, and this is a discussion is being held everywhere else, especially in America, which is, of course, can the government order churches to close down? And obviously you're going to see a lot more pushback in America than anywhere else. But my pastor is actually American, so I think is the chance of my church being closed down is not very likely.
Well, all the churches in Australia, they're all cancelling their services, including Easter. They've just, they haven't been forced or anything. They've just announced that they're closing down their services. And obviously, historically, you've seen during plagues or pandemics, people turn to religion, turn to God. We are not seeing that at all. In fact,
that's sad to see, and I'm not happy to see what basically looks like the opposite. It's like, oh, there's a plague, there's a pandemic. You know, we don't have any faith. Everybody stay home, please. have your faith at home.
Yeah, and we'll shut down the churches as well. Yeah.
And that's a sad state that we're in at the moment. And what I've heard actually, and some people have come up with some novel solutions. For instance, I heard of one place in the Netherlands where last Sunday the minister preached for the entire day nonstop, and because they were limited to 100 people, they just cycled out 100 people. They just, you know, rostered people on. Everybody could still come to church, but you know, over the hour. I'm not sure how long the pastors could keep that up, but you know, I think for churches to be downscaling their services is fine. I think it's always nicer to have smaller scale communion and fellowship. That's fine, but I just it's just tragic to see all of these churches shut up and shut their doors at the first sign of trouble.
Well, my guest on the Monday edition of Wilms Front, which will still be back to regular time, 7 p.m. Melbourne time on Tim Wilms' YouTube and DLive channel, will be Christian theologist Daniel Seckham, because I am eager to explore this fact of the pandemic, that we're actually seeing religion close its doors and people, nobody is turning to religion at all, which I think is a development in the 21st century, which I think is worth exploring.
And I definitely think it's worth exploring, and I'm glad to see that you're doing that, and I hopefully a few other people in the old media sphere pick up on that and start to ask that question, like, hang on a minute, why are churches suddenly shutting doors now that there's a plague, when that, to my knowledge, historically has never happened?
Yeah. It's certainly one of the talked about flow-on, knock-on effects of the coronavirus. That's that's certainly one. Enjoy your time at home, Due.
Thank you. I'm going to be doing some more gardening tomorrow, and I'll be just working from home next week, and focusing on getting a couple of these other things done around the house. I should still be able to take the kids out to the park. You know, isolated spaces will be good, and having more family time. And I hope everyone does that too. Go to church if you can. Still, please spend more time with your family. Don't waste all this time stuck behind the screen watching Netflix, because that's what they want you to do. So go out there and do something else. And that's it from me. You can go to writeminds.nz for my writing. You'll probably see a bit more writing from me now that I'm stuck at home. You can go to writeminds.nz/donate if you'd like to help keep the website up and running. And any extra contributions will go to legal fees that I've got. And all of my writings appear on the BFD as well. And they have a dozen or two articles a day from mostly right-leaning commentators. And it's the New Zealand's number one new media site. And thank you everyone for listening, and see you next week.
And of course, theunshackled.net is where you can see our archive of shows and also our written articles. Facebook and YouTube are stepping up their censorship of pretty much everybody, since we've already been censored, we've already got used to
yeah, first time.
Yeah, so obviously The Unshackled and my show Wilmsfront has a substantial following on Telegram and Gab, so make sure you find us there. They're certainly not going to be censoring free speech anytime soon. So follow us there. My own personal website, timwilms.com, you can find my social links and also podcast links to the Trad Tasman Talk podcast is on the Wilmsfront podcast feed. So that's where you can find the audio version of that. Stay safe, everyone. Stay calm. Take measured precautions and plans for the coming months or so. And I certainly hope that everybody and their families can get through this pandemic with the least amount of interruption and hardship.
And good night.
Good night, everyone.